G'day, this is wildlife photographer, cinematographer and author Shannon Wild, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Cheers.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 51. The United States versus B&H Photo Video. In this episode, retail giant B&H gets sued by the U.S. government for discrimination. Photographer Jake Olson has a public meltdown, but will his career suffer? Professor Melissa Click finally gets the axe. A U.S. district judge says photographing the police isn't necessarily covered by the First Amendment. And more nonsense, this time on a beach in Florida. All that and more in episode 51 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much for opening the show, Shannon. I greatly appreciate it. Shannon Wild has been shooting professionally for over 12 years now, is the author of 3 books. She's an official contributing photographer / cinematographer for WildAid, is an ambassador for a variety of wildlife conservation NGOs, that's non-governmental organizations, and in 2013 sold pretty much everything she had to move to Africa and pursue her wildlife photography. She's absolutely rocking it online. Her Instagram account alone has nearly 85,000 followers, and once you see her work, you'll see why. To check out the work of Shannon Benson, better known online as Shannon Wild, head on over to her site at shannonwild.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 51 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. We also appreciate you for taking the time to tell your friends and helping to spread the word about this podcast. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. The past year or so hasn't been very pleasant for one of the biggest names in the photography retail business. I'm talking about New York City-based B&H Photo Video here. Just months after being slammed with accusations of mistreatment and discrimination, which resulted in its workers protesting and ultimately unionizing, B&H is now being sued by the U.S. government for discrimination. Yeah, that's not good at all. On Thursday, February 25th, 2016, the U.S. Labor Department announced its lawsuit accusing B&H of violating federal requirements at its Brooklyn warehouse. The government says that B&H, quote, has systematically discriminated against Hispanic employees and female, Black, and Asian job seekers at its Brooklyn Navy Yard warehouse, end quote. Now, since B&H is a federal contractor, it's forbidden from discriminating in employment and is required to take affirmative action for employment equality. Patricia A. Hsu, director of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, says that, quote, B&H fell far short of its responsibility and created deplorable working conditions for employees at its Brooklyn warehouse, end quote. The government, of course, has investigated and has some very specific and serious accusations against B&H as a result of a 2-year-long review conducted between January 2011 and January 2013. One of those is that B&H allegedly required Hispanic workers to use separate restrooms from other employees. Bathrooms that were unsanitary and, quote, often inoperable, end quote, according to the U.S. government. The lawsuit also accuses B&H of only hiring Hispanic men for its entry-level laborer positions, an act that both excludes women as well as Black and Asian workers. It also alleges that the company paid its Hispanic workers less than whites, subjected them to harassment, failed to keep proper records, failed to provide designated bathrooms and changing facilities for women, and more. Now, if you want to read the full 33-page lawsuit, it's available over on our website, and we'll have the link for you in the show notes for episode 51 at petapixel.com/podcast. The government says that, quote, OFCCP filed its complaint after determining that it was unable to secure a voluntary agreement from B&H to take corrective action, end quote. And it's demanding that the company provide relief for the affected workers, or it can cancel B&H's contract with the government, which is worth $46 million, and permanently ban it from future contracts with the U.S. government. So basically, the government felt like B&H just wasn't serious about making the changes, and it had to go ahead and sue them. Now, I think it's important to point out here that these allegations are from a review that ended more than 3 years ago now. That said, the protests by employees and their having unionized happened in late 2015, with workers alleging ongoing problems with working conditions and treatment toward them by B&H. Does Adorama ever have problems like this? I don't know. I've never heard of any. As things develop, we'll keep you posted, of course. You know, it's unfortunate to have to report things like this. I suspect many are going to vote with their dollars and go elsewhere now. Adorama, Amazon, etc. There are many places where you can buy your gear, of course. I think that most of us have ordered from B&H at one time or another over the years, so it really sucks to hear allegations about the company. Next. As the saying goes, it's not hard to be nice. It really takes no effort at all. But I guess no one told that to supposed famous photographer, and I'm putting that in air quotes here, Jake Olson. And as a result, he's gone from famous to infamous as his career self-implodes. According to NBC affiliate WOWT in Omaha, Nebraska, the Blair, Nebraska-based portrait photographer posted a very unkind comment on his Facebook page after customers wondered where their photos were. One woman, Jen Norris, paid Olson $700 cash and waited about 5 months to get her photos. To make things worse, she discovered that he was using photos of her children to promote a workshop he was doing in Sweden, something she never gave him permission to do. Olson allegedly retaliated by encouraging people to share the photo and get it out there even more. The photographer posted to his Facebook page saying, quote, "Customer service announcement. For those of you waiting on photos, I didn't work on them today. I didn't feel like it." End quote. Then he goes on to brag about spending time in the sun, getting pulled over in one of his dream cars, and other ridiculous excuses mocking his customers. Customers he clearly didn't care about, because if he did, he'd have treated them better, of course. But you see, Olson's business doesn't hinge on photographing people. It's on marketing his online classes, his workshops, and more. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with teaching and making your money that way. Many do that. But it's the complete disrespect for people, that have given you their hard-earned money, that's the problem here. Since Olson has now famously bragged about his wealth and his fame online, that news station looked into those claims. And they found that a Huffington Post article named him as one of the top 30 most socially influential photographers in the world. But when the station contacted the Huffington Post, they said that the list was, quote, "compiled by a blogger," end quote. This is a side note here. It should be a clue as to the state of the news business these days. Don't believe everything you read. Sometimes they're just put out there with very little research done. And when you call them on it, they blame it on a blogger. But the comment from Olson that really made this story go viral was one he made on his Facebook page in which he told someone, quote, "Glad you finally see it my way. You've been publicly shamed. Move on. Oh, and seriously, give suicide some thought." End quote. Yeah, what a winner, huh? For one, if you're in business, no matter how famous you are or think you are, making comments publicly like that is just stupid. And you only have yourself to blame, in my opinion, when it completely unravels on you. It was unlikely, but if this person he was talking to had actually taken their life, Olson could have been charged. Many have in the past. You're not allowed to taunt someone into suicide and get away with it. Now, his character really came through when he posted a photo of his wife's car mentioning that the Porsche Turbo S cost him $190,000. When a Facebook follower of his asked why it was so important to mention how much it cost, he told them, quote, "So you know how much money I have and how much you don't. Duh." End quote. Then he went on to brag about how he's going to make over $2 million this year and insulted the commenter's photography. Now remember, he's putting himself out there as someone who can teach other photographers how to do better work. Yet he's degrading someone that's following him. That's just amazing. Even more comical is his constant mentioning of how famous he is, the articles written about him by Forbes and others, and his Wikipedia page. Oh, that Wikipedia page about him, by the way, was allegedly written by him. Yeah. So famous, he had to put up his own Wikipedia page. Allegedly. A page, by the way, which has since been deleted on the grounds that it was self-promotion. We at Petapixel reached out to Olson and subsequently his lawyer, and he didn't deny the comments that he made online. Instead, he boasted to us that he's received over 1,000 new Facebook likes on his page overnight as a result of the controversy. Bad press, as they say, is still press. As long as people are spelling your name correctly, that's all that matters, unfortunately. Now, Resource Magazine published a lengthy article online about Olson's public statements, and in one of the screenshots from a private email exchange, Olson claimed that he earned over $1.2 million in 2015 from teaching photography and selling his tutorials. Again, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with teaching and earning a living. I get it. But what everyone is having a problem with is the flaunting of that success, the belittling of people, some of whom follow him and have enriched him, and the complete lack of humility on his part. For instance, in a Facebook post which has since been deleted, Olson said, quote, "It's all pretty amazing. This blank," now he used the S word there, but we want to maintain our clean rating here on the podcast, but you get what S word he used, "put me on the map. 6,000 new Facebook likes in less than 24 hours. It's insane," end quote. To that, one of his followers said, "We're just here to watch you burn. It's going to be awesome." And Olson responded with, "I've been burning for 5 years. Help me put it out. The success is exhausting, blank." And in place of blank, he used a word beginning with B and rhyming with which. You get the idea. Isn't that just great? What a detestable human being Jake Olson is, in my opinion. Now, we can probably take this with a grain of salt, but Olson reportedly published a short statement as an apology on his Facebook page, and that reads as follows. Quote, "Start with nothing, have instant success to the point where you absolutely don't have a clue what's happening to you or why. On top of it, have the guilt from the things you've done in the past eat you alive every day. Then have a bunch of money thrown at you for something you love doing, and then feel guilty about that because you don't feel like you deserve it. Stay sober for 5 years on top of it, and try to be a good father, partner, son, and grandson. Then be attacked from all over the world on a daily basis for something you've poured your heart and soul into, trying to capture the lives of people who are very important to you, and then on top of it, handle it with grace. I blanked up, people," and he said the F word there, by the way, "and I'm sorry that I am human, and I try to be a better one every day. I struggle. Don't feel sorry for me. It's not what I want. Just acknowledge how much I really do care about all of you. That's all I ask," end quote. Now, do you believe that? Personally, I don't. It's so easy after the fact, after people have called you out on your BS, to go ahead and be like, "Well, I'm really sorry. I've had a rough life, and you know, I make millions of dollars, and I really shouldn't treat people that way. Sorry." So I don't know. You know, I'm all for forgiveness and redemption, but we'll see how Jake Olson acts from now on. Can he be a decent, kind human being, or is he going to berate people and flaunt his wealth some more? I guess time is going to tell. As of this recording, the Facebook page for Jake Olson Studios has an astounding 363,731 likes. Amazing. He changed his profile photo to one of a young child and a duck and has received glowing remarks about that, to which he responded, "Thanks, guys," and he put a little heart next to it. Isn't that sweet? So there's that. I wonder just how many years Jake Olson is going to have to delete comments and people from his Facebook page. When you have hundreds of thousands of followers and many untold thousands of them have seen what's going on and have witnessed this craziness, I think it's going to be a long, long time that he's going to be dealing with this. And maybe that's what he deserves. You know, if he can use this experience to change as a person, better himself for not only just himself, but his family and everyone else out there that he deals with, give back and make things better, then I applaud that. Like I said, I believe in forgiveness and redemption. You can only control who you are from this moment forward. And let's hope he gets that message. Next. With any luck, this will be the final story we do on Melissa Click. As the now former University of Missouri professor, known for calling for more muscle to have student journalists removed from a protest, has been fired. Something that we predicted here on the podcast. Something that was pretty darn easy to predict, actually. In January 2016, Click was charged with assault stemming from her behavior during that November 2015 campus protest. According to the Columbia Daily Tribune, the university's board of curators voted 4-2 in favor of termination, something that over 100 of Missouri state lawmakers demanded, while over 100 of Click's colleagues signed a letter in support of her, amazingly. The latter just blew my mind. You know, she clearly assaulted journalist Mark Schierbecker and incited the protesters. Really bad things could have happened, but thankfully for her, they did not. A statement put out by the board reads as follows, quote, Dr. Click was not entitled to interfere with the rights of others, to confront members of law enforcement, or to encourage potential physical intimidation against a student. When she interfered with members of the media and students who were exercising their rights in a public space and called for intimidation against one of our students, we believe demands serious action, end quote. You know, that serious action should have happened months ago, but for some reason, they took their sweet time on this. The university's interim chancellor, Hank Foley, said of this, quote, her actions in October and November are those that directly violate the core values of our university, end quote. Now, that's just ridiculous, of course. If she weren't a professor there, she'd have been fired right away. If she was a high school teacher, gone. In my opinion, many other universities would have done the right thing immediately and would have tossed her the moment they found out about this video of her acting like a thug and intimidating students. Students who were there exercising their First Amendment rights to freedom of the press. But for some reason, this thing dragged on forever, and I think that not firing her immediately really does damage to the university's otherwise good reputation. But she's gone now. And Click has the right to file an appeal and get her job back, but I suspect that she's not going to exercise that right. This is just too hot of an issue. I think the chances of her ever getting her job back there at the University of Missouri is slim and none. It took much too long, but Click is gone. Next. Now, without sounding paranoid, it sure feels like over time, our freedoms are increasingly being taken away. Or, at very least, it seems like there are more and more restrictions on us. You know, we used to be able to do so much, and everything was just fine. No one got hurt. The war on photography, as I've said before, is a real thing. If you have a camera, people think you're automatically up to no good, and that is just silly. That's a problem with them. That's not with you. While this story is very American-centric, those of you in many other countries listening to this have faced similar challenges to your freedoms. And others still have very little freedoms when it comes to photography. For instance, in some countries, you can't do street photography. You must get permission first before you take someone's photo, or you can be arrested. So it was surprising this week when a U.S. federal judge ruled that photographing and filming police officers isn't always protected by the First Amendment right here in America. Huh? What now? I mean, come on. Since when? On Friday, February 19th, 2016, Federal District Court Judge Mark Kearney ruled on two cases that he had heard, both of them against the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and involving citizens who were detained for doing nothing more than photographing the police. Judge Kearney wrote that there is no constitutional First Amendment right to film or photograph police officers when that act isn't accompanied by, quote, challenge or criticism, end quote, of the police conduct. So basically, unless you're opposing and protesting police actions by capturing their image, the First Amendment apparently doesn't apply to you anymore. And that is just dumb. There's no doubt in my mind that this silly ruling is going to get overturned. I mean, come on. So you're out in public, you see a really cool scene, you've got great lighting, whatever, and a cop is in it, and you can be arrested by taking the photo. For real? That just doesn't make any sense. That is un-American and contrary to the First Amendment. Cop in pretty photo? Bad. Cop at protest? Good. I mean, is someone punking me here? This makes no sense at all. Who is this guy? Is he new? This is not cool. Judge Kearney writes, quote, Fields' and Garacci's alleged constitutionally protected conduct consists of observing and photographing or making a record of police activity in a public forum. Neither uttered any words to the effect that he or she sought to take pictures to oppose police activity. Their particular behavior is only afforded First Amendment protection if we construe it as expressive conduct. End quote. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Since when? That is just ridiculous. In America, especially when you're in public, you can photograph whomever you want, and that includes the police, so long as you're not interfering with what they're doing. You can't be within a couple feet of them with your camera in their face, obviously. That's going to get you arrested. But these people were a good distance away, photographing the police, documenting their activities, and apparently that's not covered as free speech. Come on. You know, one might say that photographing the actions of police is not only legitimate, but important. There are scores of examples of citizen journalists photographing the police and affecting change as a result. We're talking about dirty cops, of course. And guess what, Judge Kearney? They weren't there taking photos to protest the police actions. They were there capturing the actions of police. Actions which may have gone unreported and unknown had they not been there. He goes on to say, quote, "We have not found any case in the Supreme Court or this court finding citizens have a First Amendment right to record police conduct without any stated purpose of being critical of the government. We decline to create a new First Amendment right for citizens to photograph officers when they have no expressive purpose, such as challenging police actions." End quote. So, because they can't find a specific case, that means the First Amendment doesn't cover you? That's just ridiculous. I just can't see how the actions of police are excluded. It doesn't have to be specifically mentioned for it to be covered. The First Amendment covers freedom of speech. That's all you need to know. Now, Radley Balko of the Washington Post took issue with the judge's crazy ruling, saying this, quote, "I don't know of any other court ruling that requires journalists to announce their intentions while engaging in journalism. To do so would kill off a lot of investigative journalism. The same goes for most other protected conduct," end quote. If you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't care if you're being photographed or not. What's there to hide, right? You know, this, of course, is going to be appealed and overturned. Judge Kearney swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and he should probably give it a read and talk to some people if he needs to have it explained to him, because clearly he doesn't get it. I don't see how anyone can argue that this was a sane decision. Now, we'll keep you posted if we hear anything new on this, of course, but it's going to take quite a while until it's resolved. The court system goes so incredibly slowly, as you know. In the meantime, this was perhaps one of the most damaging decisions against free speech that I've heard in a long time. Just amazing. Next. In our last episode, we told you about the otherwise good people who apparently lost their minds on a beach in Argentina, removed a dolphin from the water, took photos with it, and well, sadly it died. And yes, that's very upsetting. Well, now a man in Palm Beach, Florida, thought it'd be cool to drag a shark out of the ocean, and we all know how I feel about sharks, of course, and posed for photos with it as tourists snap away. WPTV in Florida reports that what the man did was not technically illegal, and in fact, many fish for sharks all the time, and there have even been tournaments for it recently. But the problem in my mind, at least, was that he posed for photos with it as the shark struggled for its life. Now, while they placed it back in the ocean, apparently within about 90 seconds, an expert said that the thrashing about could actually damage its internal organs. So posing with it is a problem that unnecessarily kept it out of the water for more time than it needed to be. Millions of people have seen this video now, and hopefully it's a cautionary tale. The lives of animals should never be risked just so you can take selfies or otherwise shoot photos with them or of them. It's animal cruelty, and it's wrong. They should be ashamed of themselves. Now, I don't care if it's legal. Hunting them is one thing. Posing with them for photos while they struggle for their lives is a completely different matter altogether. It's just not cool. And Petapixel's audience overwhelmingly agrees with that. Of the more than 445 people who have taken the poll as of this recording, 79% said that it's never okay to pull an animal out of the ocean for photos. Just 8% said that it should always be okay, with 13% saying that it should sometimes be okay. You know, in my opinion, just leave the animals alone, all right? It's just not worth their lives. And you know what the really scary thing is? It's that these people walk amongst us. People that would grab animals out of the ocean just for photography. Next. Anytime a photographer is shown in a positive light, which doesn't seem to happen much these days, I applaud that. Well, we can thank website hosting service Squarespace for a commercial that's already running this weekend, Oscars weekend, which shows combat photographer David Guttenfelder. The National Geographic Photography Fellow is an amazing photographer, so it's clear to see why he was chosen to feature. He's the real deal. And if you don't believe it, head on over to his Instagram account where he has nearly 900,000 followers, and that's even before this ad started running. Yeah, I've got some catching up to do. I'm off by, well, almost 900,000. In the ad directed by Noam Muro, director of the Hollywood movie 300, Rise of an Empire, Guttenfelder says, quote, "Why do I do what I do? So everyone can see what I've seen," end quote. You know, that's one of the things I loved about being a photojournalist myself. You get to show people things they might not otherwise have seen, and through your eyes. Well, it wasn't the money. Journalism doesn't pay. I think everyone knows that by now. Guttenfelder has won a World Press Photo Award 7 times, and that just happens to be the number of times he's been a finalist for the amazing Pulitzer Prize. I told you this guy was the real deal, huh? I think the commercial is worth the minute or so it takes to view it, so head on over to the show notes for episode 51 at petapixel.com/podcast, where we'll link you over to that. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 51 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 52. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.